Hi everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. Welcome to the NSUMD Sink or Swim podcast. This is Autumn Pugh. I'm a fourth year medical student at NSU and I applied internal medicine. And today I'm joined by my peer and colleague and friend. Katie, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi everyone, I'm Katie. I'm also a fourth year medical student at NSUMD and I applied OBGYN this cycle.
Nice. Thank you so much for joining today, Katie. And today we're going to be talking about navigating VSLO and also applying to residency and just our overall fourth year journey and how it's been going.
Awesome.
So, Katie, how has your fourth year been? Let's get into it.
Wow, so many different sides of fourth year. I would say the beginning of it was definitely stressful. And just, a lot of anxiety and things like that. But after interviews are now done and over with, now I'm kind of living my best life and just trying to rest as much as possible, do all of my hobbies, spend time with family and friends, do everything that I possibly can before I go back to being stressed again in residency. What
Yeah.
about you?
I feel like we're all sharing the same sentiment of like trying to rest up before residency starts. I'm literally in hibernation right now. Like you said, like after interview season, I'm just completely chilling, which I love. So fourth year has definitely been my favorite year of medical school. And I will say, like, with interviews, navigating that with like sub eyes and aways, like that was pretty stressful. And I even like did my ERAS application like kind of last minute. Like I definitely like procrastinated a little bit with that too. So yeah, I don't recommend, guys.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, that will be another side note segue, I
Yeah.
guess.
Yeah, but overall everything's going well and I'm so happy like we're over that hump and now we can just rest and enjoy the rest of fourth year.
For sure.
Do you feel like you're ready for residency?
I mean, if we're talking about my medical knowledge, that's definitely probably gone a little bit downhill because I have not been in the hospital since the
Same.
last week of December. But I will say, like, mentally, I'm getting there. And I think I'll probably be ready after I know, like, what the match results are, number one, if I match at all, and then where
Right.
I match, that will definitely kind of get me into the groove of things. But overall, I'm definitely ready to graduate and to kind of move into this new chapter of the journey.
Same. I would say I feel ready too. I definitely should review for starting residency. I need to do something because same as you, I finished rotations late December, so right before winter break. And it is now February. So yeah, been chilling for a while. But yeah, I do feel like overall I am prepared to start residency. Yeah. So did you do any away rotations this year?
I did three away rotations at what were at the time my top three residency programs based off of location. So yeah, I did. I applied for two with, no, I didn't. I did four. I'm sorry. I did four away rotations. Three of them I got through VSLO, and then one of them I applied to through Clinician Nexus, which is where the HCA programs typically are.
Nice. Yeah, I did. Let me think. I think I only did, no, I did two. Yeah, I did two very different experiences, one at an academic institution, one at a community hospital, but like a big community hospital network. So it was good to compare that to like our home institutions, which are the HCA hospitals. Let's see. And then I applied one through VSLO and another one. It was like a program that is connected to NOVA in some way. So I actually just emailed Dr. Charlatan and was able to set up the second rotation.
Okay.
But yeah, Clinician Nexus, that's like pretty convenient for us, I would say, to get.
Yeah. It was very nice because, we used Clinician Nexus for 3rd year, so all of our stuff was pretty much in there. So that definitely streamlined the OA rotation application process. And I think a lot of people don't even know that Clinician Nexus actually exists. So if you are like interested in doing some OA rotations at some of the HCA hospitals, either in Florida or even in other states, definitely check out Clinician Nexus as well.
Yeah, I would say that the setup is pretty convenient. What was your experience with vSLO and applying?
VSLO was kind of like a mini, I don't know what you would say, like a mini med school application or mini residency application. It's through the AAMC, so whatever your login information is, it's still the same. So it's not difficult to like register and things like that. But some of the things that they ask for, like they want a picture of you. You have to have all your vaccinations. So that was something that I kind of planned out to make sure that I was going to do like my yearly physical, and then get the vaccination form filled out. I think I did it in February because applications for OB-GYN opened up in March. So yeah, I made sure to do that because most programs actually want that AAMC vaccination form and not some other form that shows your vaccine records. So yeah, it was really a lot of demographic information. And then depending on where you apply, each program has like their own special requirements. So one of the common requirements that I got was a letter of intent or a personal statement type thing. I didn't make it as long as like my actual personal statement, but it was like a truncated version of like one paragraph of why I wanted to become an OBGYN, and then the second paragraph being like why I want to rotate with the program. And then just some other like forms that some of the programs wanted you to fill out. But I felt like VSLO was very easy to navigate, very easy to find different rotations. And the only thing that I will say is to be careful of is if you're early on in the VSLO process, there are going to be old rotation dates, like for the previous
For the
year.
previous cycle.
So you have to be careful of that. Like you might be like, oh, they have all these open, and then you log on to VSLO in March and they're like all gone. It's like, well, what happens? Like, well, those are the old ones for the previous class, and then the new ones will come out, for you. So
Yeah, no, I experienced the same thing of like frantically trying to find rotations that worked for my dates. But then I would realize, oh, wait, this program hasn't even released new dates like for this cycle. So I would definitely recommend checking your program website if you already know where you want to weigh. Yeah, that would save you a lot of time. But yeah, same thing for internal medicine. Let's see. Yeah, we had to do also personal statements, like a short paragraph. One thing is I had to do a drug test because even though the drug test that we have on Castle Branch is like good for that whole year, they wanted like a separate drug test. So that was something that I had to do. Again, but yeah, same, all the same stuff. Did you like hear back from your programs pretty quickly after applying through VSLO, or like how was that process?
Yeah, I don't know if I was one of the lucky ones or not, but I basically heard back like either the next day or 2 days after I s submitted my application, they replied back giving me the away, so.
That's so fortunate because like Katie knows because she was with me, but I applied to do an OA at like this program that I'm super high on, and I never got any answer. I didn't even get a rejection, but I obviously didn't get the spot. But as you know, for internal medicine, like I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but like it's not necessary to do an OA at the program in order to get an interview. So that's one thing that you should keep in mind if you're applying internal medicine. Because I know some specialties actually do prefer you like have an OA done at that institution, in order to just like make your application stand out more, or like guarantee that you can at least get an interview there. So, how is
And
it for OB-GYN?
yeah, I was just gonna say for OB, There are incentives to do it, but you can still definitely get interviews at programs without doing away, and most places will still interview even if you didn't do an away there because the spots are so limited. So it's definitely not a requirement like you were saying for some of the other competitive specialties. But I will say, like, if you are someone who you feel like might not be as strong of an applicant academically and you know that you really want to go to a particular program, I would definitely suggest applying for an away because, you know, that's that month that you're there is like a month-long interview. So if you go in, you work really hard, you can really build those connections and then not only get potentially an interview out of it, but hopefully match there. And then I would say the same thing goes if you're looking to be in like a particular location. If you really want to stay in one area, it would be good to also consider doing aways and making those connections.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And like you can also do an away if you just want to learn more about the program. Like you think you want to go here, but like you've never been to that program. So that was like my rationale. And then also just wanting to be like on the ground and show them what I could do. 'Cause I just feel like that was my strong suit is like my clinical skills and performance like in person. Where like if maybe that's not your strong suit, like maybe you just want your application to stand alone. So it's definitely something to like try to strategize like as you apply.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, should we talk about our MSPEs?
Yeah, I feel like the MSPE was one of the things that I had heard about throughout medical school, but didn't really like know exactly what this was. So the
Same.
MSPE is like the dean's letter, right? And so pretty much at every medical school, like there is a process that it goes through, and it's not generic, but there's not like a lot of excess words that are thrown in by your dean. It's all based off of evaluations that people have done for you throughout medical school. And then there's one section where you can come up with like your noteworthy characteristics, and you can submit those to your dean to include in your MSPE or your dean's letter. I feel like the MSPE, it's something that you don't want to put as like, oh my gosh, my MSPE, like that's like the only thing I'm thinking about for your residency application because it is just one part. But it is important, like when you're starting off medical school and you're in your preclinical years, there are going to be things from your preclinical years that are going to show up on your MSPE. So it's important that you're not just solely focused on, well, the dean's letter doesn't matter until I get to my clinical rotations, because that's not exactly true. And all of the content from the 4 years of medical school, or the 3 years, I should say, are going to be included in that. And that also includes your grades. So if you are at a program that is not pass fail, or is a program like ours where it's pass fail for preclinical, but then it's pass, high pass, and honors for clinical, those grades are going to show up on your MSPE as well.
Yeah, and then we talked about like how like some feedback or comments that are like noteworthy are going to be on your MSPE as well. School does a pretty good job of that, of like picking like the best like noteworthy comments like to put on your MSPE.
For
Yeah.
sure.
No,
But
that's
keep in mind, like, the dean cannot change any comment that was made. So,
yeah.
make sure that no matter what you're working in, if it's like just a PBL facilitator that you're working with, if it's your practice of medicine or doctoring course, and then, of course, your clinical rotations, that you're always giving 110% and, being professional and things like that, because those comments do matter.
Yeah, agreed. All right, let's talk about application systems because I know for OB-GYN, you guys use a completely different system than internal medicine. So like we use ERAS, which is on, you know, AAMC website. And the way ours was broken down is we obviously have our CV like after our basic information. And like what makes up the CV is 10 experiences. And within those experiences, you can highlight three that you want to stand out or that have been like the most impactful to you. And then they have like an impactful or like adverse circumstance category that's optional. And you basically just write like a paragraph, you know, talking about any circumstances, you know, that make you into the student or the person that you are today. And then there's like a hobbies and interest section that you can fill out. And then we have a separate section for publications. Yeah. And then we also obviously have the personal statement, which mine was around, I actually don't remember the length of my personal statement. It was definitely one page. Yeah, it was definitely one page. And then we have our letter of rec section too. And for internal medicine, it was like 2 to 3 letter of recs. Yeah.
Yeah, so for OB, this was the first year that we split off from ERAS and we had the residency cast system. I will say being the guinea pig for that was kind of stressful a little bit, but between ACOG and APGO, like the governing bodies for all of this, they did a very good job of making sure that we had different webinars that we could attend, not just for applicants, but also for our medical school advisors and deans and all of that. So going into the application system, I felt like I knew a lot about residency casts and that hopefully it wasn't going to be too crazy or too different. So there's a lot of similarities between the ERAS application and the residency CAS application. It's just the system that's different. So we also have to do like your demographic information, your CV. One difference is that we get 12 experiences, and then out of those 12, you pick three that are the most important to you. You don't, it's not like with the medical school application where you pick the three most important and then you get extra characters. You still get the same amount of characters no matter what. And then our hobbies and interests was also separate from that. So you could also put up to three hobbies in. And then for OB, we do have signals. So we were allotted. Yes, I am does too. Do you want to say yours before I say mine?
Yeah, so I am. We have 12 signals, and then we have three golds, and then I'm not sure the rest of silver and bronze, but you know, you can do the math with
How
that.
can you do the math with three gold and then you also have silver and bronze?
Do we have bronze? I'm sorry, guys.
You figure that out. We come
I'll
back.
figure that out. You go first, Katie.
So our signals, we get a total of 18. So we get 15 silver and 3 gold. And then the signals are like a pretty decent amount. Like 18 is really good. And I feel like what they're kind of trying to do with these signals is to kind of diminish the number of applications that go out, mainly for the applicant. So you're not spending a whole bunch of money, and just kind of focusing on those programs that you really want to go to. And then those programs can focus on those that signal and make sure that they interview them as well. I think Autumn has figured out.
Figured it out, guys. So we get 3 gold, 12 silver. I don't know where I invented bronze.
I think there are some specialties that have bronze, so you're not off, but okay, 3 gold, 12 silver for
Yes.
IM, and then 3 gold and 15 silver for OB.
Yeah.
And then we also have our letters of recommendation. We also have a SLOE, which is similar to an LOR, but it's really you want someone to do that that has like been with you clinically. Sometimes it could be the chief of the OBGYN department at your school if they've worked with you. And it's like a standardized form that they fill out. And then there's a section where they can kind of write a paragraph or two about who you are as a person. And so I want to say, so in residency CAS, you can do 3 LORs and a SLO or a SLOE. But I will say you should still go to the individual program websites because there are some programs who say they want two LORs and one slow. And so you definitely want to make sure that you're paying attention to those numbers. And then on the actual application system, you don't have to send like all of your LORs out to every single program. So if it's a program that only wants two letters and one slow, then you could just individualize that. My personal statement was about a page long, and then our research, like publications and presentations, were also separate. But for me, I did include, I believe, two or three like really prominent research experiences in my experience section, because when you're putting in your publications, you literally can only put in like the publication, the article. For presentations, you can put the title, who presented where, and that's it. So you don't really get to go into detail about what that experience was like. So I thought it was helpful to include some of those in my, I guess 15, no, 12 experiences that I can include on the application.
Actually, the same. I think I included like two research experiences in my 10 experiences. Yeah, and then as far as the LORs go, same thing. Like, I would recommend checking the program site because I think all of them need a chair letter. But that can be included in your two or three, or that could be like aside from the two or three. So it's definitely important to check the program site and see, the number that they want, because you can actually technically upload more than three, but a lot of programs are like, don't send me more than three. So I would check the site for sure.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that can lead you out, is if you're not doing
Following
the
directions.
instructions. Yeah, because it's like that's professionalism. You don't follow instructions or
Yeah, you'll be
an interview.
surprised. Like, they're just looking for any reason, honestly, to weed you out because it's so competitive and they have so many applicants. So that definitely is a big deal, is like following the instructions for the program. Yeah. So next, I guess we can get into our interview experience.
Yeah, so Autumn, do you want to go first this time?
Yeah, I overall, like, I sat for about 15 interviews. Which is like a good amount. Yeah, I was drained towards the end of this interview
Of
cycle, I'm not
course.
gonna lie. And there are definitely programs where I'm just like, I was kind of not super invested in that program, especially towards the end. You get really tired of like saying the same thing over and over and over again. But overall, not really like a negative experience interviewing, which is awesome. Let's see, I did a few meet and greets for the programs that I was like super high on. Definitely just to like see the vibes of like, the residents and just the vibes of like the culture of the program, which were super helpful. And it's just a way to like ask questions without like the PD there, without like administration there. So a great way to like get to know the program. So I recommend meet and greets and second looks, which I also did two second looks. Both amazing experiences. But I definitely recommend, if you've never been to a campus or to a program, that you're highly considering, to do a second look, because I just feel like it's a great way to like imagine and envision yourself there. Let's see. I did have one pretty interesting interview experience at an academic institution where they considered it a holistic process. So actually, when I sat for the interview, they only knew my name. And they said, we haven't looked at your application yet, but I want you to tell me what I should look at, what you want to emphasize before I do grab your application and look at it. So I thought that was very interesting. I personally wasn't a fan of that interview style because I actually like them to have some background of like who I am as a person, what I've accomplished, my medical accomplishments, whatever the case may be. But yeah, that was definitely interesting, just talking about myself. Like 15 minutes straight, and they have like no background. It's kind of awkward. But how about you, Katie?
Yeah, I would say for me overall the interview experiences was great. I sat for 19 interviews. And I think one of the common things that they say is like the meet and greets are kind of like soft requirements. And I think depending on the specialty, that might be true. I know for IM, we kind of talked about your meet and greets and how like there's like 30 applicants on at like one time. Whereas for OB, There was one, no, there were two meet and greets where there was about like 25 of us, but most of them are just, the people who are going to be interviewing either the following day or a couple of days later. So it would be like max 10 to 12 of us that were there. And so we definitely got to do a lot of like, not one-on-one, but like small group settings. They would usually split us off into breakout groups. Some of the meet and greets got very, very interesting and fun, having us do like scavenger hunts in our house. And so I really enjoyed the meet and greets, and they were definitely informative. But like I said, the unique ones where we were doing other things and kind of talking about different aspects of our own lives and our own journeys to medicine was definitely fun. The interview day, I think this is kind of true across the board. You usually have some type of introduction at the beginning from like the program director. And then after that, you have your individual interviews with a few faculty. Usually, I would have at least one resident interview as well. And then there's usually like a little Q&A room that you can just go on and ask some other questions as well. Most of the, there was never like a question that truly tripped me up or where I felt like, oh, I was not really prepared. I would definitely say you can Google typical interview questions. One thing that you definitely want to have is your elevator pitch. So you're going to get a lot of the times, well, tell me about yourself.
I know, I hated
And
that.
like, yeah. And like Autumn said, it does get repetitive. But, for me, like I had pretty much the same general elevator pitch, but sometimes I would like change my fun fact or like, I don't know, say something a little bit differently just so that way I spiced it up and it didn't sound like super rehearsed. So you're definitely going to be asked to tell us about yourself, your elevator pitch. You're definitely going to be asked, why do you want to go into that specialty? So definitely have that ready to answer. And then like for Autumn, the interview that she was talking about, all of my interviews, I believe that they looked at my application. I didn't, if they didn't, I didn't know. But still wanting to, they might ask you like, what is something that you want me to take away from your application? And being able to highlight some of those key things that you want everyone to pay attention to or to look at is really important. What else? Second looks, I went to a few. There, I would say about half of the programs offered a second look. And for me, because were on limited fundage and things like that, I didn't go to any of the ones that were out of state because I just didn't have the money for it. But if you do have the money for it, I would definitely recommend it. Like Autumn said, if you've never been to that area, it can be very, very helpful to see. So yeah, most of my second looks were within driving distance of where I currently am. And I felt like they were all very beneficial to get to see the hospital, walk around, do our thing. So yeah.
Yeah, agreed. My one second look, well, one of them was actually in Boston, which I actually have never been to Boston before I went to the second look, and it was freezing cold. A little bit about me, I'm born and raised in South Florida, and I went to FAU for undergrad and NSU, obviously, for medical school. So I've been here my whole life. So going to Boston was like definitely an out-of-body experience, but like I'm really happy I went. Because it was just good to see, like, imagine myself there, like I said before, and then just be able to compare it to like back home. I think it definitely helped me to like have all the information before I make my rank list, which I think is really important.
For sure. So I guess after interviews are done and over with, now
Rank
we are at the point of actually creating our rank order list.
list, which is super exciting, honestly.
Yeah, it is. At the time that you're listening to this, we would have already matched and potentially have started residency because backlog. But in terms, we're about a week out from when the rank order list is due. They're due next week. So I guess this is like a big component because, you interview, you do all these things, and then it's like, How do you rank them in order of where you want to go and what things you should consider? So, Autumn, I'll let you kind of start. What things did you consider when it came
My rank
to
list.
your rank list? Yeah.
Honestly, I'm super simple. Because I was able to narrow it down to like this one out of state program, and then the rest of like the programs that I'm super high on are in South Florida. So things that I consider were obviously location. I want to stay close to home because my family is here. What else did I sort? Of course, salary. I definitely took that into consideration. Schedule. Let's see. Yeah, definitely like if they emphasize wellness, that like moved up my rank list. I don't want to be unwell in residency. So yeah, that definitely patient population, that was actually huge to me. Because I do like have a specific patient population. I just definitely wanted to be like a diverse patient population. So that was something that I heavily considered. Yeah, I think those were like the main points that I consider when making my rank list. And then obviously like the vibes I got on actual interview day and the culture of the program. Yeah. How about you, Katie?
Yeah, so being that I was a teacher before this and I love Excel spreadsheets, I don't know, I can't tell you where I found this, but I actually have a spreadsheet that some wonderful medical student made. And you basically have this sheet, and then you can enter different program data like hospital type, prestige, call system, location, education, like all kinds of stuff, right? And then you can change the point values of these things. Like if something is super important to you might give it like a 30 point ranking. Like for me, location is really big. So the particular location I want to be in, I gave that 30 points. And then the further away I got from that location, the point values dropped. So, long story short, that's kind of what I use. And then after you input all of the information, it gives you a total score for each of the programs. So I used that because I like data and I like to have like a concrete way of comparing programs. And then of course I considered the vibes after that. So the easiest portion of my rank list was,
You were like, I need the concrete facts first.
yeah, I did because I'm like, how do I like, there's so many things to consider with
Yeah.
what you want for residency. So like you said,
Fair.
for me, the salary is pretty much around the same everywhere. It's the cost of living that's different. And
Yeah.
so I didn't really look at it as who's going to pay me more. I looked at it as who has a salary that also equals a good cost of living, so that way I can just afford to live. You know what I mean? So like for instance, if you were to take a program in South Florida where the cost of living is super high, they might be paying me more, but because the cost of living is so high, I don't see that money because it's all going to, my rent and stuff. So I looked at that. For me, having a robotics curriculum is very important because I really want to be
That's really
proficient.
cool.
Yeah, I really want to be proficient on the robot.
Light little flex.
I mean, the robot, listen, less bleeding, less complications. I love the Da Vinci. And then also for me, acuity. So I actually looked at the level of NICU that was at each hospital before I even interviewed with the places. Level 4 would be the highest acuity of care, and level 1 would be the lowest. So if they had a level 3 or level 4 NICU, which most of the programs do have, your acuity is going to be pretty high. You're going to see a lot of different things. Operative autonomy, volume is very important to me. Vacation.
Oh,
It's
yeah,
not like
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, it's not like super high on my list, but for instance, if I want, like, let's say I go out of state, I would like to have, 3 weeks of vacation plus a week at holidays. So that way I know that I'll at least be home for at least one holiday week. You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I looked at it. Whereas if it's somewhere local, I don't necessarily need that week off for the holiday because I can just get off of work and then go be with my family.
That's a good
So
point.
all of that, put all that information in, I would definitely say. And then for me, the hardest part was the top five because the outputs or the scores that they got were all very similar. And then it became, okay, well, do I pick location over this? Like, do I pick, we talked about academic versus community. That did come up in my head a couple of times.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, so the top five was definitely the hardest for me, and for the longest time, the top two was what had me stressed and anxious and wanting to pull all of my locks out. But I'm very,
Valid.
yeah, like literally pull all my locks out. But I'm very grateful for my support system, not just like through my mentors and things like that, but my friends and then my family who definitely talked me through it. And I will say, as of a couple of weeks ago, I did everything. I am at peace.
Yay.
The rank list has been done, and your girl ain't changing it because I'm not trying to go into another whirlwind.
Yeah, I'm actually in the same boat. So I finished it the first week that it dropped, the rank list, and like I'm not changing it. We talked about this. I just feel like I had to like go with my gut and we'll see what happens. But for me, it was figuring out which program was going to go one, which was going to go two, because my top two are really close. But again, I just went with my intuition, and your gut feeling never lies. So I think that's ultimately the way you have to go. But there are a lot of different factors you should consider. And like vacation time, that's like underrated, because even for me, there was this one program that was like seemed good on paper. And then they got to the vacation time part, and they were only giving 2 weeks vacation, while every other program was at least 4 weeks. So that was definitely something where I was like, yeah, I'm bumping you down because I need my month vacation in a year. So that was definitely interesting. So that's definitely something to look at. And then definitely like call schedule, and then just like regular schedule of an intern in general. That was always something I asked. And then another question I would ask the residents, just like, do you feel like you have enough time for yourself? Because I'm definitely big on wellness. And then I also just like don't want my career to be like the only thing that I'm doing in life. That was definitely something that I emphasized during my interview days. Like, do you feel like you have enough time for yourself? Do you feel like this program, emphasizes wellness? Do you feel like this program considers your feedback as a resident? That was also another question. Something to consider.
And also, if you're like, if you're trying to decide between programs that are like neck and neck, let's say that they're in the same location, all that other, all the other big things are pretty much the same. Think about the smaller perks. So, like educational stipends, do they provide you with UWorld or TrueLearn in order to prepare you for your step three and then for your specialty boards? Do you have to pay for parking? I know it seems like for most places you would think, yeah, you would shouldn't have to pay for parking, but there's multiple programs that I interviewed at where you have to pay for parking. Same thing with food. How much do you get each month for your meal stipend? Or do you even get a meal stipend? Because there are programs where you don't.
If you don't, that's highway robbery.
And or the programs will say, we'll give you a meal stipend when you're on call. But it's like a 24-hour call. Yeah, you want to definitely have a meal stipend. But also, you're at the hospital 12 to 13 hours.
Right, it's like you have to eat.
Yeah, so, that's definitely something to consider if you're like neck and neck with the program. If there's any funding to travel for research conferences, if you're interested in research and things like that. So, those are some like small things that you might not really think about going in, but those are definitely some things that I considered, especially when those programs were neck and neck.
Yeah, I consider that too. And usually those were like similar between the internal medicine programs. I'm guessing it's probably different for OB-GYN, but yeah, that was definitely something that I looked at too. Like food is very important. Come on now.
It is.
Yeah, but getting back to like support system, I feel like that's huge. Because residency, as you know, is like such a huge transition. Like all of my resident friends that I've spoken to, like across specialties always say that like it is a steep learning curve. Like you're adjusting to like, you know, a lot of mental and emotional changes and like the schedule and like also like working, like being a full-time employee and having to show up to a job and like work with new people and just adjust to all of that. So that was definitely something that like I factored into my decision, because a program that I was that is high on my list is out of state. So it was definitely like, should I stay with what I know and like have my support system close by, because I'm not sure how I'm going to like handle this transition, or should I just, you know, try something new and like go out of state? So that was definitely something that I factored in. How about you, Katie? Was that something that you thought about?
For me, like I think a lot about what do I want my future to look like, and I'm a big family person. So even me being in South Florida, like it wasn't far. Anytime I wanted to go home, I would just drive home, and I really liked having that luxury. But there were times where I just physically could not go home. And so prior to applying for residency programs and things like that, I've always been like, I want to be in my hometown, and that's pretty much it. But I will say, definitely, after the interview trail and the application process, it has opened my eyes to other locations that, I would be definitely fine with living in, and locations that are not too far away from home. So, like a similar situation of me driving, or even like an hour and a half flight, kind of a thing. But I also would like to start a family sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And my mom, I mean, she's already said like I will be done. I mean, she's already retired, but she has like her own little side gig part-time job that she does for funsies, and she's like,
Right.
the minute you get pregnant, getting ready to have a baby, I'm quitting all of this. I'm your nanny. So I'm
He's
like, okay,
ready.
well, I have all of this support. I won't have to pay for daycare or anything like that. So naturally, you would want to be in the location where my mom is.
Right.
And then I also have, my biological nieces and nephews, but then I also have my bio adjacent nieces and nephews, and there's a lot of them. So I have biologically, I have one niece and two nephews, and one on the way. She will actually be coming very soon. And then my bio adjacent, I have two nieces and one nephew. So all of them are in the same location. And, with my older sister's children, I was pretty much there for a big chunk of their lives. For the first two, I was there for almost their entire lives. And even the little baby, who's not a baby anymore, he just turned 8, but I was there for like being able to see him take his first steps, and like watching him go off to kindergarten and all of those like big major things. And so now that I have a new niece who's 9 months old, and then having another niece coming in the next couple of weeks, I want to be there and give them that same love and attention that I gave to the older children to them. So that's also a big thing for me. And then I love where I'm from. I love my city.
Rep your city.
Honestly though, I'm not gonna dox myself and say, I will say it's in the Central Florida area. But that's where I've grown up. That's where I've been my whole life. And that's the population. The population that's there is the exact population that I want to serve. So,
Yeah, that's honestly how I feel about South Florida too.
So it's like, why leave? But then you think about it, and it's like, well, it's 4 years for OB, it's 3 years for IM. You can
Yeah.
leave, try out a new environment, and then come back and practice medicine in your hometown or whatever it may be. So.
Definitely. And something that Katie and I always discuss is like, are we happy? And like, where would we be happy? Like, what I'm practicing at would make us, happiest. Because like, we definitely do care about like our happiness. And obviously, like, family is a big part of that. And like, our support system is a big part of that. And we already have like a community. So I definitely would like factor that in. And then don't be surprised if like your rank list changes like in the beginning based on how you're feeling about life like at that time, because I honestly saw myself like having programs higher on my list that were out of state, and then like looking at it, 2 weeks after and being like, yeah, no, I want to stay home. Like, so it definitely does change, like, based on the season, based on like the mood or like the way you feel about like, life in general. So like, that's normal too, is like to go through those phases. But I think making that list like that Katie talked about in the beginning of like what's important to you and scoring each program based on that, like, you can't go wrong with that, because your feelings might change based on emotions.
Exactly. Wow. And now we're here. And now we're here. I think we're 20 days from match. Let me do the math.
Yeah, we're like a little bit less than a month away.
So if we count, we're not gonna count today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. We're 18 days away from the Monday of match. And we're
Yeah.
22 days away from the where we the Friday when we
Yeah.
find out where we match. So we're
Yeah.
almost there.
Crazy.
Yeah. One thing that I will say is the medical school journey does go by very quickly. And
It does. It was going by slowly at first, like pre-clerkship was, I felt like. And all of a sudden, it just sped up.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that there are definitely times where you're like, dang, I can't wait till this part of medical school is over, or I can't wait to be here. I can't wait to be applying for residency right now, or like, I can't wait to find out where I match. But try to enjoy every part of the journey, because once you pass it, you can't go back. So this is a very exciting time for us to have our rank list done and, to be anxiously awaiting where we're going, and match day is going to be phenomenal. But
Yeah.
after we have that match day, we don't get it again. I mean, if you match in fellowship, you kind of get it, but typically you find out if you match while you're at the hospital working. So it's not a big match day ceremony.
Yeah.
And then same thing after, when preclinicals are done and you've taken step one, you never get that feeling again when you open up your score report and you see that you passed, or you open up your step two score report and see that you got your goal score or you
That's
exceeded.
actually a great point.
Yeah, you don't get those back.
You don't get those moments back. Definitely appreciate those moments for sure. And celebrate yourself, because like, this is a huge accomplishment. And we work so hard, and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Is a very exciting, positive time with like a lot of changes. So it could be like a little bit scary. But overall, a positive experience. Yeah.
So yeah, any last thoughts?
Words.
No, I mean, for me, I think that that's the biggest parting words that I have, is just enjoy every part of your journey.
Yeah, I agree. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. Like, all the journeys look differently based on like what you want out of life. But yeah, enjoy every part of the journey, enjoy the moment, and celebrate yourself, because this is a huge time.
Oh, shizzle.
All right, let's hang up before Katie. Thanks.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sink or Swim. We hope that it was informative and helpful, and we may or may not catch you on the next one.
Right, bye, guys.